Welcome to episode 44 of Independent Misinterpretations with James Robertson. This week I interview Francisco Garau, who attended ESOG 2011 in Edinburgh, Scotland, for his first impressions and just general impressions of the conference.
If you have feedback on the podcast, please send it to jarober@gmail.com or visit us on the web at jarober.com/blog/im.ssp. You can also look for Independent Misinterpretations on Facebook.
Well, this is James Robertson. I'm here with Francisco Garau. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Indeed, yep.
Okay, and we're here to talk about ESOG 2011, which just ended, and unfortunately I was not able to attend. My daughter was had to go up to college that week, so I had to drive her up there. I just wanted to get kind of an impression of how things went. So to start, why don't you just give me your impressions of the conference, and then we'll go from there.
Well, it was a very, very nice conference. I haven't been attended to the ESOG conference for almost 5 years, so this is the last one I attended was 2005, I believe. And yeah, so good attendance, like 140 people. Yeah, lots of Argentinians. what else? Well, it was very good located. The festival, Edinburgh Festival, was going on. Yeah, very, very good mood. I think that the general mood was a very good conference. The facilities were great. We were close to the hotel, and the informatics university where everything happened was like 15 minutes walk. And we have the always some tables there to people who want to do some programming or not be in the presentations, which was great. And I think that yeah, the presentations were very good. I couldn't attend all, obviously, because there were parallel tracks. But it's also quite interesting what happens outside the presentations, as you get to know the people better and to ask very precise questions and everything. So what I like most from this conference is the amount of different Smalltalk implementations that were being presented. So we have the one from Klaus, Smalltalk X, which is brilliant, Smalltalk, which is for some reason not very popular, but I mean technically it's brilliant in the sense that you can there is no image in that Smalltalk, so everything is he bootstraps every time, so you have the impression to have an image, but there is none.
So it gives you all the advantages of having an image without the downsides.
Indeed, yeah. Yes.
Well, it's interesting that it bootstraps, because that's really kind of a problem for almost every other Smalltalk. Is you have you know, having worked in VisualWorks for a long time and having, you know, worked in Squeak and Faro, they all carry around that same baggage of the image was created at a certain point in time, and they're still carrying that legacy forward.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, this guy, Klaus, I have lots of admiration for him, because he started back in the 80s or something like that, just reading the Smalltalk 80, the language, and being not able to buy one of the VisualWorks or ObjectShares licenses, he says, okay, I'll do it myself. And he has done it in a different way as the usual implementation. So, yeah, every time... So he uses the jitter to compile to machine code. But once you want to do your application, he... generates the object files, so it's like running the jitter and generating all the machine code, freezing it, and being able to generate a DLL or a shared library with those. So I might not be completely precise here, but that's the idea that I got. And he clearly showed explained in the presentation that the illusion of an image is done by saving all your objects in a serialized format in another file, so that then when you want to restart your environment, everything is bootstrapped again. That objects that you were working with are all materialized again, and you continue, and you don't see the difference.
So it's more like a traditional environment in that sense, in that it's saving some level of state, but it doesn't actually save a whole runtime executable image.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. I've never really looked all that deeply at SmalltalkX. It's something that's kind of been on my list to look at. And I've been at a lot of ESOG conferences. I've never really seen much about SmalltalkX. So it was presented there, or there were people there talking about it?
Yeah. So the funny thing with the SmalltalkX is that there hasn't got a strong user base. But in a SmalltalkX, you can show you're writing a method, and you can escape and start coding in C. The functions that you have available are the same that the virtual machine is having, right? So you can and it compiles the C with its own C compiler written in Smalltalk, which he wants to change that, but I think so. But and then he has other things like how was it? I can't remember exactly, but the same, you can run JavaScript or Java. Yeah, Java. You can import Java source files or even the bytecodes, the class files, and run it on top of the same SmalltalkX virtual machine. So, and that was not the only Smalltalk in which was shown that targeting or trying to solve one of Smalltalk's biggest problems, as I see, that is the integration with the rest of the world.
So what else did you see that kind of went in that direction?
Then there was Dave Chisnell has done, I can't remember the name of his Smalltalk, but same idea. On top of Objective-C.
Yeah, I've interviewed him for the podcast. Every time I've talked to him, he's had a very interesting sounding system. So he was actually there presenting?
Yeah, he was.
That would have been cool. I've never met him in person. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So he has done a Smalltalk, which, the Smalltalk objects that he compiles are the same as the Objective-C, so he can send messages. So from the virtual machine, which I think is called something like LLVM, so it's like an open source Objective-C and a virtual machine running there. So he targets the same kind of binary format. So then you can talk, the Smalltalk objects can talk with the Objective-C objects without problem. So that was the second. Then the third, something along the same lines with Gemstone, which they done maglev, in which you can talk, the Smalltalk objects can talk with the Ruby objects. So they done something like Ruby built on machine on top of a Gemstone, so that the objects at the virtual machine level, the objects from Smalltalk and the objects from Ruby are the same.
You know, how much progress have they made on that? Because my understanding of the issues they've had in the past is that Ruby doesn't so much have a spec as it has a series of tests that you're supposed to pass to prove that you have a Ruby implementation.
I don't know.
Okay. But just from an impression standpoint, you found that kind of interesting. I'm kind of curious about two other small talks, too. Was anybody there talking about the JTalk thing?
JTalk as well, yes. Yeah, that's the third one. So that's the same idea, but living on the JavaScript virtual machine, which, well, I don't understand that very much, but it looks like the Chrome. So he showed me. It was Damien Paulette, I think.
Damien Paulette, and probably I think Nicolas Peton has worked on that also.
Nicolas Peton was, and then also Joran Kramp.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there? Yeah, so on the weekend, and they were working on that.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. So the JavaScript object model is quite powerful. Has an horrible syntax.
yeah, I've done a number of screencasts on JavaScript, and I can tell you trying to keep all the parentheses straight is often very difficult, along with some of the other interesting things about JavaScript.
Yeah, but also you can put functions, prototypes of functions and objects in which you have, so much more powerful than the small object model, I think. And what he's done is simply put like a skin or a disguise, a Smalltalk disguise, to interact with those objects. So whatever you do in a Smalltalk, so the target he compiles to some JavaScript intermediate language of subsets of what JavaScript can actually do. But the advantage is that he can communicate back and forth between JavaScript and Smalltalk objects. And then there's a third one, which is the one that Todorov is doing. I can't remember the name of the Smalltalk. It's not the red line, it's another one.
You're not talking about Frank Lesser's thing, are you?
No. Todorov is doing the same, but for .NET.
Oh, really? Now, he's historically, I know he's worked in VSE and is the dialect he's spent most of his work in, I think.
Yeah, but I think for some reason he's not allowed to do that anymore, so he's went to implement his own Smalltalk on top of .NET.
Okay, this one I haven't heard about, so how much did you see about that?
He showed me on the, I couldn't attend to his presentation, but he showed me a bit on the social event. So let me see if I can find the name of that one. Yeah, running Smalltalk on top of the .NET DLR. I can see the presentation here. It was on Wednesday.
Okay.
So that was another interesting one. And then I think there was another one. Well, the red line.
Now, did they present virtually there? I think they were doing a presentation, just a kind of an online Skype kind of thing.
Well, all the presentations were recorded, but the technology wasn't great. So they were recording with cameras and almost iPhones. So I don't know how they're going to.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant. I meant the Redline guy, James Ladd. Was he presenting in person or was he presenting online?
No, he was in person.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I had the impression he wasn't there, but okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. Then, the one from David Chisnell on Objective-C is called Etoile.
That's right. I couldn't come up with that either, but it's pretty early in the morning here, so I'll take that excuse for myself.
Yeah, so, and then which one else? And then the other one, which is along the same lines, but still not much advanced, is the ones that these ex-friends colleagues from mine were doing in Argentina, the guys from Cesar Systems, in which they are they have produced, based on Visual Smalltalk, they have produced they are modeling a virtual machine on top of Smalltalk.
Okay, so what do you mean by that exactly?
Well, what I mean that what they presented is the garbage collector. So they have programmed a garbage collector in a Smalltalk, in a in a small talk, kind of subset in the slang way, and with this garbage collector done in a small talk, they can like generate a DLL, so pre-compile all the garbage collector call with using their sheeter, which produces assembler, and put all that code into a DLL, right? And then at runtime, switch from Visual Smalltalk garbage collector to this new one.
So kind of incrementally update the system, even though the system's obviously in a moribund state. I mean, VSE is obviously not progressing forward. It's been a dead product for a long time, but they're kind of incrementally updating it by adding onto it this way.
I'm not sure what's the main objective there, but I think they're just trying to play, and they found that Visual Smalltalk is a small and very easy to understand system, and they are playing with that. So they are trying to, okay, let's model how a garbage collector is done, because the problem is the divide between application in Smalltalk developers that are on the object land and the ones that are on the VM land.
Right.
And the garbage collector, you cannot, if you want to touch it or see how it's implemented, you have to go to the VM, and that's not accessible. So I think that the idea goes there. So let's make that accessible. And how can we do it? Okay, so let's program it in Smalltalk. The problem is that you cannot run with enough performance the garbage collector in Smalltalk. So then you have to make it efficient. And what they said is that even without any optimization, their garbage collector is seven times slower than the Visual Works one at the moment. But there is a lot of possibility to make it even run faster. So that's I think that is very, very promising.
Yeah. Now, one of the things you haven't gotten to is the two main open source implementations. So, what did you see as far as Faro and Squeak? You know, you mentioned all the other small talks that you were kind of more interested in, just from the sense that you hadn't seen much about them before. But what's your impression as to how much energy and stuff is happening with Squeak and Faro at the conference?
Yeah, well, they were definitely the more active, I think. So, for example, in Faro, so all the research that is being done by Stefan, then the Swiss guys, and all the other universities is mostly around Faro. And Igor, who is now working as an engineer in the Stefan's group, he has presented Native Boost, which is also very, very cool. So it's like, the same idea in that you want to be able to extend the VM with new primitives without having to go to that VM LAN, which is sometimes very hard to enter. And so, in a very... So he has like a small assembler, and he can generate from the Smalltalk image assembler code, which then gets plugged into the VM. So the second time... So the first time it's produced this machine code, and the second time it's just calling that primitive directly. That was very impressive. Then there were a lot of presentations around web technologies, the different approaches to develop a web application. So C-side, what is the other?
AIDA Web.
AIDA Web, yeah. What else?
Iliad. I know Nicolas Petain had Iliad. I don't know if that's still
I missed that presentation, unfortunately. Okay. And then Esteban Lorenzano has another one, which is Reef, I think. There was even a panel discussion about different ones. I forget one from Germany, a German guy that is developing. Yeah, he has like invented yet another framework in which the UI is all JavaScript, very dynamic. But yes, you still develop everything in Smalltalk.
That reminds me of some work that was done years ago in Java. That was along those lines, where the entire UI was running in Java, and it communicated back with a server on the back end.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that out. It was. Can you give me a minute? HRWorks is the name. Holzler is the guy. And the presentation is desktop like GUI in browser.
Okay, yeah, I've read a little bit about that.
So yeah.
In terms of impressions, one other thing, you know, obviously Squeak and Faro seems to be, well, actually even more so, I guess Faro seems to be where most of the new energy is coming from in Smalltalk at this point. What was your impression of the other two vendors that haven't come up, Instantiations and Syncom? What was going on around them at the conference?
Well, they did, both of them done presentations on all, and Jensen as well, so presentation like roadmaps, so where we are, where we're going, but I skipped those.
So would it be, do you think those were less interesting to the audience or just less interesting to you?
Yeah, to me, no. There was quite a lot of interest. But...
So I guess, is there anything else you wanted to mention about the conference before we wrap up?
Let me see. No, then there was from my point of view, then there were a couple of research projects which I think that are very applicable to the industry, and is this Mondrian. So Alexander Bergel presented like using Mondrian to visualize your profiler.
Yeah.
So, and he was modified the, this is also running on top of Faro. So he modified the profiler to count every message sent and then visualize those results, not with the classical, how you say it? The output from profiler is quite hard to read.
Yeah, well, yes, even the VisualWorks one was never... all that good. Although, if you're tracing every message sent, you know, that gives you more than just profiling. There's a whole lot of information you can get out of that from the standpoint of even adding post-facto typing information if you really wanted to go in that direction. You could take that kind of research a lot of different places.
Yeah, so what he's done is Mondrian itself was being slow, and they didn't know why. So from some dates... changed the Faro or something, and it started to be slow. So they say, okay, let's count every message sent, and then let visualize the result with these boxes. So saying if it's a tall box, it means that a lot of message sends are being, that method is being executed a lot of times. So then you can quickly identify the hot spots, with very little effort, go straight to the method that really gives you the most benefit if you make it more optimal. So that was very good. And then, what else? Then Bifrost, the other, was another project or that is being done by Jorge Recia. And yeah, he's working on an object debugger, so you can say, for example, you want to put a breakpoint when an instant variable is changed of a specific object, or do a back in time debugger. So a lot of very promising things, I think.
So just from an overall standpoint,
mm-hmm.
You haven't been to ESUG in, I guess you said, 5 years, and I haven't been to one in two.
Yeah.
The last one I was at was the one in Britain, where it was over in Brittany, and for some reason I'm not coming up with the name. It was over in the far west end of France. So
yeah, depressed.
Yes, that's, you know, I don't know. It's still early in the morning for me, and I've only had one cup of coffee. So in any case, I haven't been there in 2 years, and you haven't been there in five. What's your impression of this, of the state of small talk, just from an energy standpoint? Would you say things look good to you, look the same as they were when you were last there? What's your impression of that?
No, I think it's very good, yes. But that doesn't mean much, because what usually happens is that we are like a very close community in some sense. So you can find that all your colleagues are very enthusiastic. But obviously, if you go to this conference, you have to be enthusiastic about small talk. So, all of us were very cheerful and enthusiastic about the future. But I don't know if that means anything.
Okay, well, that's fair. It's oftentimes you ask that kind of question, you get a very enthusiastic response. It's actually interesting that you thought about it more deeply than the typical small talk fanboy, if you will.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about that because, well, I work for JP Morgan, and we had a small talk there for a few years, and yeah, the ones who work in the system in capital are enthusiastic, but then outside is not the same.
Yeah, no, I understand. I work on a rather big project in Northrop Grumman, and I understand that completely.
Mm. So that's what... it was curious that after this ESAG in Edinburgh, there was another dynamic language... because it was a festival, they organized a dynamic languages fair or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, I and we were just around the corner. It was like a 5 minutes walk. And there was a guy presenting about Erlang. And then I stay like a half an hour to Richard Stallman, the guy from GNU. But I was, together with David Simmons, I was the only one there. So what I would like to see in the future is this conferences, see if we can also organize it together with some of the other dynamic languages. And I'm not talking about Ruby or Python. I'm talking about, I know there are APL, you have Ford, you have Lisp, and we all share the same problems in a way, which is the problem of not being mainstream. And how you fight inside bigger organizations too. I know in here in London, there are companies doing APL, and they have this, in a sense, it's kind of small though, because they have their niche and they keep growing very slowly on the, or they are in this always more or less the same stagnated. And I know that there are other banks, investment banks, looking into alternative languages. So Python, be it Python or Scala or F#. So there is some hunger for something more productive. It would be great if we can share with other of these communities ideas and...
Yeah, it'd be nice if Smalltalk left the island.
Indeed. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's what I was so excited about this conference, because there were like two or three projects along those lines. So that's great.
Okay. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up for me. Thank you a lot for coming on the podcast.
Okay, thank you.
And this will be out next week.
Okay, all the best.
Yep, bye.
Thanks, James. Bye.
And now a short break for this week's Smalltalk Jobs Report.
I'm James T. Savage, and this is the Smalltalk Jobs Report. St. Petersburg, Florida. Plasmatherm is looking for a software developer who has experience with Smalltalk, graphical user interface design and development, and various other skills required for development of semiconductor equipment. Read my blog for additional details. This position pays $60,000 per year. Chattanooga, Tennessee. The Tennessee Valley Authority is looking for a programmer analyst who has experience with Smalltalk, Oracle, DB2, Windows 95 and NT, and Unix. It is considered a plus if you have experience with Visual Basic, WebObjects, C, C++, Java, HTML, Perl, PLSQL, and FrontPage. Los Angeles, California. Perry Software Solutions is looking for a senior software developer who has experience with Smalltalk, Java, and OO. It is considered a plus if you have experience with COBOL, DB2, and CICS. Malta, New York. The Superior Group is looking for a senior software engineer who has 3 years of experience as an EI engineer and experience with automating semiconductor manufacturing equipment, Unix or Linux, Smalltalk, semi-software standards, and operational models and state diagrams. It is considered a plus if you have excellent verbal and written communication skills and have experience with MQ, XML, CORBA, experience developing and supporting software solutions in support of mission-critical systems in a 24/7 operational environment, experience in a 300mm wafer fab, and foundry experience. Bangalore, India. Honeywell is looking for an engineer who has a degree in engineering, electronics or instrumentation, or computer science, has excellent communication skills, and experience with Smalltalk. It is considered a plus if you have experience with Honeywell DCS or a competitor's DCS. The jobs listed in this report are just a few examples of the Smalltalk positions that are currently open across the world. For more details, read my blog, Message Sends with an Undefined Object. Good luck with your job hunting.
We hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. Come back next week for more. If you have feedback, please send it to jarober@gmail.com.